You know what I'm saying? Relationships. Relationships with God, relationship with family, relationship with friends. Amen. That's the treasures of life. If you're missing out on great relationships, then you're missing out on real life. Amen. Praise God. I said, you're missing out on real life. Amen. I heard of a story of a man that wanted to be buried, he said, in a red Cadillac convertible with the radio blaring, his hair plastered back, the red accelerator pressed down to the floor and the engine roaring, and the fan blowing on him, make it look like he was going fast, had a big old cigar in his mouth, and they drove him down in the pit, and the guys came to cover him up, and one guy said, man, that's living. No, that was death. And that's where it's all headed someday, folks. Amen. That wasn't living, that was being dead. Amen. Praise God. But some people have a real unusual concept about what life really is. Amen. The scripture, Jesus teaches us very plainly what life is not. First of all, he tells us what life in the world is. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, and verse number 17, Jesus makes it very plain. First of all, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. And so what's in the world? First of all, he said, it's just things. Things. I know folks that think things are going to make them happy. Amen. I hear folks all the time, if I can get this or I can get that or I can get something else, I'm going to be happy. Amen. Well, none of the other stuff made you happy. What you have right now hasn't made you happy. So what makes you think something else is going to make you happy? It's not about stuff. Some person said that the one that dies with the most toys wins. What a foolish statement. You're still dead. Can't enjoy one of them. Solomon said it this way. He said, he talked about the vanity of life. He said, if I get all this stuff together and I have all of these things and men servants and maid servants and mansions and houses and lands and all of the kind of trappings he had, and Solomon would make Bill Gates almost look like a pauper. I mean, the guy had money. He had everything a man could possibly desire, everything a human being could possibly want. And he said, who knows when I die, if this is either going to go to my sons, and who knows whether he'll be wise or he'll be a fool. You know what history teaches and what life teaches? Wealth rarely makes it to the third generation. First generation makes it, second generation spends it, third generation starts over. There was a sign in Columbia on the bulletin board to wealthy people that said, fly first class. If you don't, your kids will. Amen. And so that's not about stuff, folks. Amen. He said that's what's in the world is just things. And then there's a startling statement here that he makes. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That explains something to me. Why some people just can't live for God. They just can't live for God. Because they don't have the love of the Father in them. They just don't have the love of the Father in them. I'm so sorry. I've wept tears over it. I wish they would. But I can't put it in them. Don't ever let this world get its hands on you. I know folks say, well, you know, I'm going to just go ahead while I'm young and I'm going to sow my wild oats and I'm going to live like I want to. And then when I get older, get settled, I'm going to come back to God. Rarely ever happens. Once this world gets its hands on you, it's hard to ever get away. It'll take you further than you intend to go. It'll cost you more than you intend to pay. And it'll make you stay longer than you ever thought that you would stay. How many people serve God, fall back into the world, come back to God in their later years, and their children are lost. and service after service after service after service after service after service. They lift their hands and pray for their lost loved ones that could have been saved if they just would have stayed planted. But this world, folks, it's tenacious. It gets its hands on you. I promise it'll cost you a lot more than you ever thought you'd pay. It will strip you of everything that you value. And it'll toss you aside like a piece of used meat. It has no regard. All that's in this world is stuff. Amen. It's had thousands of years of experience dealing with people. And it never, ever adds anything to a human life. He said that's all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's it. Lust means strong desire. And he said that's all that's there, lust. Just the desire, but never being satisfied. I've never seen anybody satisfied yet in the world. The richest people in the world, you know how much money they want? A little bit more. A little bit more. Exxon just had its greatest quarter it's ever had. But you know what? They want a better one next time. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so world, it's just about more stuff. Getting more. Got to have more. Don't know what to do with what I've got, but I got to have more. It reminds me of a story I read about catching monkeys. In certain Central American countries, they have monkeys. And the way they catch a monkey is they take something that the monkey wants, some object of food, and they put it in a jar that's big enough for him to get his hand in. And then they put that jar and they plant it on the beach and they tamp the dirt around it real good so that it won't come out. And then when they hide and the monkey comes out, he slips his hand in that jar to get what he wants. He closes his fist around it, and he can't get his hand out. And so then they just come out, and they get monkey and jar and all. And they just haul him off. It's real simple. Because once he gets his hand on it, he can't get away from it. He won't let go to save his life. And you say, isn't that dumb? But you know what I've seen? I've watched people get a hold of sin and get a hold of habits, and get a hold of things, and they won't let go. It's taking their life. It's destroying them. There's no happiness. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's nothing in their life but misery. But they won't let go. They just keep holding on, knowing that it's zapping the life out of them, but they won't let go. Don't let this world get a hold on you. That's what most people call life, folks. Amen. Things can get a hold of you that you can't let go of as easily as you think you can. Somebody says, I can handle it. How do you know? There's multiplied thousands and even millions that can't. Amen. I can handle it. You watch out, it'll handle you. Amen. And so there's a lot of folks, they got a hold of stuff they can't get rid of. And they want to get rid of it, but they can't let go. It takes the grace of God to let go. Amen. I learned a long time ago, there's two ways to get something away from a baby. One way is to take it. Amen. And then when you take it, boy, you talk about noise. They cry and scream and throw a fit and holler and carry on. There's another way. You just take something over there that's more attractive than what they got. And you just, he'll look up and he'll take what you've got and he'll forget about what he has. And you just take it and it's a smooth transition. Amen. That's a wonderful way to change things. Amen. God, when he comes, he offers you something so much better. If you'll get your eyes on, you'll see it for what it is. You'll let go of what's destroying you, and you'll reach out to that which can save you and give you joy and give you peace and make your life worth living. Amen. That's what he calls life more abundantly. Hallelujah. What, do you know what you're talking about, Brother Grissom? You better believe I do. Because I've lived without Jesus Christ, and I've lived with Jesus Christ, and I've found out that life with him is so much better than life without him. Amen. I'm a witness to that. I'm not preaching to you about something I don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. I've been on that side. I know what that side is like. I've been on this side, and this side is so much better. I just decided to stay and tell everybody that I see that it's a better place and a better way to live. Now, you have to make the decision. I understand that today. Amen. I can't make this decision for anybody. If I could make the decision, there wouldn't be one person lost. I'd make the right decision for everybody. But you have to make your own decision today. Amen. Jesus Christ is about abundance. He's not stingy. Amen. When Jesus, his first miracle was turning water to wine, he made 150 gallons with just his word. Now, why in the world did he make so much? Because he wanted you to know he's a super abundant God. He doesn't do things stingily. He doesn't do things and ration it out. Amen. When he talked about feeding people, you remember when he called his disciples, he said, "Children, have you caught anything? Do you have any meat?" They said, "We toiled all night, hadn't caught a thing." He said, "Toss your net on the right side." Hallelujah. They cast their nets on the right side, and boy, they had an abundance. Praise God. He doesn't do things small way. Amen. It's all. It's everything. That's just the way he does things. It's the way he is. When he fed the crowds, praise God. The Bible says after everybody got through eating, they took up 12 baskets full. Super abundance. There's more than enough. He never just does things just small. He's always a super abundant God. Amen. Every time that he did something, he fed somebody. When he worked a miracle, the Bible says they came to him and he healed them, everyone. Jesus is a God of superabundance. He doesn't just do small things, but he does great things. Amen. Praise God. When he pardons, the Bible said he pardons abundantly. When he has mercy, he gives mercy abundantly. When he gives grace, he said, "My grace is sufficient." Well, that sounds a little weak. Well, whatever the thing is, well, it's sufficient. There's more than enough of it. Amen. No matter how big your problem is. Somebody said, "Is my problem too big for God?" If your problem's that big, your God's too small. Amen. You need to get a God that's bigger than your problems. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know one that I recommend today. Amen. Praise God. He's a superabundant God. He doesn't just give life, but he gives it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Praise God. More pardon, more mercy, more grace, more joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know the difference in happiness and joy? Happiness is dependent on something. And when the something is gone, the happiness is gone. It's like a party. People get happy at parties, and then when they leave the party, sometimes they leave mad anyway. Parties, a lot of them disintegrate real quick, you know. You get there with somebody, and then somebody wants to go home with somebody else, and problems, 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 problems. Amen. But I'm just saying, that's happiness. Happiness is getting what you think you want. But it's very fleeting. Amen. It's always dependent on something. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And you can just have that all the time. And it'll just bubble up when you don't expect it. Amen. I told Brother Davis one time, I said, I'm not really a morning person. And we were going to breakfast and I was over there just humming and whistling. And he said, "I thought you said you weren't a morning person." I said, "Well, I didn't think I was. I guess I am." Amen. The joy of the Lord just comes in at time. Praise God. Amen. There have been times when my mother died, I felt bad because I didn't feel so bad. I knew she'd gone to a better place. I knew she'd gone to heaven. I knew that she was walking with the Lord. And yes, I knew I was going to miss her. But on the inside, there was a peace and there was a joy. Amen. Praise God. Is that all right? That's more abundant, folks. Hallelujah. The Bible said we are not like those that have no hope. Praise God. Paul said, if I had opened this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable. But we have more abundant hope. Hallelujah. Not in this life only, but in the life to come. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. So he has abundant life for us today. There's nothing stingy about God. There's nothing stingy about God. Amen. I think somebody today, you need to add some abundance to your life. Amen. You've been living in low places when God wants to call you up to higher ground. Yes. Amen. Praise God. You know that you're not satisfied. And underneath, you know, you're really not happy. You know that inside of you, there's a great big hole where something is missing. There's a great big void that needs to be filled. Amen. I'm inviting you to get it filled today. And I tell you what, he'll fill it to overflowing. I like what the scripture says. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit. I mean, and friend, when he poured it out, it's still gurgling. It's still coming down. It had never stopped. And Jesus taught one day, and he was at the temple, and it was traditional that when they came to the temple that the people were standing out there in the sun, and these priests would take this big vessel of water and they would dip some water out, and they would quote that verse from Isaiah 12, that said, for with joy shall you draw off on the waters of wells of salvation. And they would dip down in there and they'd get this big drink while everybody else was thirsty. But when Jesus came, you know what he did? Amen. And he went and he said, and they just turned that water over and let it run down the steps. Praise God. And then he said, let him that is athirst come unto me and drink. Amen. For it shall be in him, he said, talking about the Holy Ghost, it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm talking about abundance today. Praise abundance. Would you stand with me? Praise God. My time is up today, but we have time for you. If you need to get some things straight with the Lord and you want to take some time today, hey, there's not going to be a convenient time. There's not going to be a convenient season. You're going to have to make a sacrifice and say, God, I need to get some things straight today. I'm tired of living beneath my privilege. I'm tired of just trying to get by from day to day. I'm tired of just going through the motions. Amen. I need some depth in my life. I need something real in my life. I need something to fill this void that's on the inside. I need something to soothe this ache that I feel on the inside of me. Amen. I need that more abundant life today. Amen. You know what? It's right here. And you can have it before you leave this service this morning. It's waiting for you right now. Amen. Won't somebody, won't you step out and just come and let the Lord fill you today with His Holy Spirit. He wants to do that. He wants to do that. Praise God. He wants to do that. He's willing to do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We want to wait just a minute here. I know the Holy Ghost is talking to some people in this house. Amen. He's trying to get through to some folks today. He's trying to save somebody from some heartache. He's trying to save somebody from making some serious mistakes. Praise God. He's trying to call somebody today to trade in their old life for a new one. Praise God. You've already been down that road. And you need to come today and start on a new one. Praise God. Would you come right now while the Holy Ghost is calling? While the Spirit of the Lord is drawing. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is talking to hearts right now. We need to pray, saints of God. There's somebody that's making an important decision here today. Amen. Praise God.